Right. Ready to dive into something that's a little bit, well, head-scratching. We're talking about German social law and this idea of agreements, which, as it turns out, might not be as straightforward as they found.
You're telling me. It's definitely one of those things that can trip you up.
Definitely. So we've got some excerpts from a German legal text, Esra Sonderheft 2024, Beitrag Weigelkorrektor.pdf, to be precise.
Right, right.
And it seems like we're about to unravel a bit of a mystery here.
Absolutely. You see, in everyday life, you hear the word agreement, mm-hmm. and you think, okay, done deal.
Simple, right.
Exactly. We've shaken on it. We both agree. We're moving forward.
Right, precisely.
Yeah.
But when it comes to German social law, well, things aren't always so clear cut.
Oh, I'm sensing a but coming.
There's always a but.
Yeah.
Right. So these agreements in this context.
Yeah. They're not always legally binding contracts. Not in the way you might expect.
So what are we dealing with here? Is it like secret loopholes, or are these agreements just not worth the paper they're written on? What's the deal?
Well, it's not quite that drastic. The document you shared, it actually uses a much more technical term for these agreements. Behördliche Verfahrensanordnung. It's a mouthful, I know.
It's a mouthful in any language.
Right. But it essentially translates to administrative procedural acts.
Okay, so even more complicated. What does that even mean for someone who's just trying to navigate this system, you know, in their real life?
Basically, it means that some of these agreements you might encounter are more like stepping stones. They're part of a larger bureaucratic process, and they might not have any real legal weight on their own.
So it's like thinking you've reached the solid agreement,
right,
only to find out it was more of a pit stop than the final destination.
Exactly.
That's got to be incredibly frustrating for someone who thought, okay, we have an agreement. I can rely on this.
Imagine this. You've got an agreement about your housing benefit, right? Everything seems settled.
Right.
But then, down the line, your situation changes, and you realize that agreement was actually made during one of these, let's call them, procedural phases.
Yeah.
Suddenly, you might find yourself with far fewer options to challenge a decision.
It's like the rug being pulled out from under you.
Exactly. And to make matters even trickier, the document you shared, it points out that there's no one-size-fits-all approach to challenging these agreements. Each type, it seems, comes with its own set of rules.
So even if you think you've got a good grasp on one type of agreement, you could encounter a completely different beast with another.
It's a real maze, unfortunately. But, and this is important.
Okay, there's hope.
Maybe a glimmer. The document does mention a potential exception. It talks about something called Section 12 ABS, 2 SGB 12, and it suggests that some agreements under this section might actually hold more legal water.
Okay, so there are some exceptions, but how common are these exceptions and what kind of agreements fall under this Section 12 ABS? 2 SGB 12 thing.
Well, that's where it gets even more interesting. Agreements covered under this section, they often relate to more specific, individualized support plans, things like, you know, assistance with daily living for those who need it.
So we're talking about situations where the stakes are incredibly high for the individuals involved.
Exactly. And because these agreements are often tied to very specific needs, very specific assessments, they tend to carry more weight than, say, a general agreement about procedural steps during, like, an application process.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
But even if these exceptions exist, it still highlights the need for someone to have a guide, right? Someone who can decipher all this legal jargon, all these specific sections and paragraphs.
Oh, absolutely.
And help them understand what they're actually agreeing to.
You fit the nail on the head. It's like needing a Sherpa to guide you through this treacherous, you know, legal mountain range. And that's actually where our second source comes in.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
It focuses on a fascinating approach called process-oriented consulting, and it could be the key to navigating these complex situations.
So what exactly is process-oriented consulting, and how does it apply to, well, this tangled web we've just started to unravel?
It's about empowerment. It's about giving individuals the tools they need, not just the answers, to navigate the system on their own.
So it's less about handouts and more about handing over the tools and knowledge to, you know, read the map themselves.
Precisely. And this actually ties in beautifully with a recurring theme we see throughout these documents. Help is ourselves self.
Help towards self-help. Mm-hmm. Right, I'm starting to see how this all connects.
It's about fostering a sense of ownership and agency, even within a system as, let's face it, potentially overwhelming as German social law can be.
Absolutely. But as you can imagine, there's a delicate balance to strike here.
Always.
The documents also hint at potential pitfalls.
Right.
Even with the best intentions.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially when it comes to offering help.
Yes, yes.
Are we talking about situations where trying to help someone navigate this system could actually backfire?
That's precisely what we're going to delve into. The documents touch upon this idea of the rescuer trap and the drama triangle, which can often play out in these scenarios.
Okay, now this is getting interesting and maybe a little too real for anyone who's ever tried to help a friend or family member wrestle with, you know, any kind of bureaucracy. But we'll have to save that for when we return. Don't go anywhere. And we're back, still trying to find our way through this maze of German social law.
It's interesting, though, you know, even when you think you've got a handle on things like these agreements we've been talking about.
Right.
It turns out, even when we're trying to help others navigate all of this, we can still end up in some, well, kind of messy situations. It's true. Good intentions only get you so far, right?
Exactly. And that's what I really want to unpack with you. You mentioned this whole rescuer trap idea before the break, you know, tied to this drama triangle.
Right.
It sounds like something we should all be aware of, especially if we're trying to, I don't know, lend a hand to someone wading through, well, German bureaucracy in this case.
It's surprisingly common. And once you understand how these dynamics work, it can be, I think, really eye-opening. So you've got the drama triangle.
Okay.
And as described in these documents, it's got these three roles: the victim, the rescuer, mm-hmm. and the persecutor.
Okay, so I'm picturing a play here. Not sure it's one I'd want to see, though. But how do these roles actually, I don't know, how do they show up when we're talking about something like navigating the German social system?
Let's say someone's feeling overwhelmed, you know, lost in the system.
Right, like you're drowning in paperwork.
Exactly. They naturally might slip into that role of the victim, right? Feeling powerless. Then someone with, of course, the best intentions, a friend, family member, even a consultant,
Night.
They come rushing in, eager to fix it all.
Oh, I've been that friend, armed with a stack of forms, ready to conquer the beast.
So that's the rescuer in this scenario.
Exactly. But here's the thing. By assuming that rescuer role, they might actually, even if unintentionally, diminish the other person's agency.
Right. Their ability to actually learn how to do this themselves.
Yes. And it can create this, well, kind of a vicious cycle. The person who's relying on the rescuer might become even more dependent.
Okay.
While the rescuer might start feeling burdened, maybe even a bit resentful over time. It's like a quicksand pit, right? Yeah. The more you struggle, the deeper you sink.
That's a great way to put it.
So what about the persecutor in all of this? Where do they fit into this whole, I don't know, this bureaucratic drama?
The persecutor, well, they can take on different forms. It might be the system itself.
Or oh, absolutely.
Inflexible. Unforgiving.
Faceless bureaucracy.
Exactly. Or, and this is kind of ironic, it could even become the rescuer eventually.
Really?
They get frustrated, right? They see a lack of progress and they start blaming the victim for not, I don't know, for not trying hard enough.
Wow. Okay. That's a lot to unpack there. And not exactly a happy ending for anyone. So how do we, I don't know, how do we navigate this minefield? How do we offer help without accidentally, you know, trapping ourselves or the other person in this drama triangle?
That is the million-dollar question, isn't it? And the material you shared, it actually offers some really, I think, valuable insights here.
Okay.
One of the key concepts is passivité. Passivity.
Okay, so we're talking about more than just, I don't know, someone being lazy here. Like, there's something else going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
So tell me about this passivité. How does it fit into all of this?
The text, it actually breaks down passivity into four distinct stages.
Okay.
And each one represents the subtle way that, well, we avoid taking responsibility, especially when we're faced with a system that feels as overwhelming as, you know, as this one can.
Four stages of passivity. Okay, this is fascinating. It's like we're unlocking some secret code here to understanding human behavior. So give it to me. What's stage one?
Stage one, denial.
Denial.
Classic.
Problem. What problem? Huh. The information might be right there. But there's this mental block. They can't even see it.
Oh, I know that one. Trying to help someone who's convinced they don't need help, even when it's so obvious.
It's tough. Isn't and that's it? Why recognizing this stage, whether you're the one seeking help or trying to offer it, it's crucial. You've got to gently, you know, guide that conversation back towards acknowledging, okay, this is the situation.
Yeah. No point brainstorming solutions if the problem isn't even on the table yet.
Okay. So what about stage two? We've moved past denial. What happens next?
Stage two can be tricky. This is where the problem gets acknowledged, but it's minimized.
Oh, the classic. It's not a big deal move.
Exactly. Yeah, it's an issue, but. And this is where that process-oriented approach we talked about, it becomes so important. By asking the right questions, you can help someone really explore, well, what are the consequences of downplaying this?
Right. Connecting the dots between those actions or inactions and what could happen down the line.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm ready for stage three. This is where things start to turn around, right?
Not quite yet, unfortunately. Stage three is where that it's impossible wall goes up.
Oh, no. The motivation killer.
You see the problem. They get that it's serious, but there's this sense of, well, there's nothing I can do about it.
Oh, I've been there.
Yeah.
How do you even begin to help someone who's hit that wall?
It's a natural reaction, you know, when you feel powerless, especially with something as daunting as all of this.
Right.
The key is to shift that focus away from trying to solve the whole thing at once.
Okay.
Instead, you look for those small, manageable steps.
So instead of staring down this massive wall, we're looking for cracks, handholds, anything to make it feel less.
Yeah, exactly. Break it down into something achievable. Now, the final stage, stage four.
Okay, this is it, the grand finale. They break free from the passivity, right? Tell me it's a triumphant moment.
Stage four, well, it can be a bit of a double-edged sword. It's like the culmination of the previous three stages.
Oh.
Leading to the belief, I can't do it.
Oh no, they've gone from denying the problem to just accepting defeat.
It can feel that way, but it's important to remember, even in this stage, the right approach can make a world of difference.
So we're back, and honestly, this whole discussion about passivity in the face of German social law,
right?
It's got me thinking. You know that last stage you described, this I can't do it feeling?
Yeah, it's a tough one.
It's like they've just accepted defeat, even if it's disguised as self-awareness.
Exactly. And it's easy to just take that statement at face value, right? Like, okay, they've given up.
Right, right.
But a skilled process consultant, someone who really understands these dynamics, they wouldn't just stop there. They'd gently challenge that belief, encourage the person to, you know, dig a little deeper.
So instead of saying, okay, you can't do it, it's more about asking, why do you feel that way?
Exactly. What's fueling that belief? Where is this sense of powerlessness coming from? It's about getting to the root of it.
Because it's probably not just about filling out a form correctly or understanding a specific legal term. There's a whole emotional landscape at play here.
Absolutely. And it's about reminding them that, you know, they're not alone in this and that with the right support, with the right tools, they can navigate this.
It might not be easy.
Right. It's not always easy.
But it's not impossible either.
Exactly. And that's, I think, a really important takeaway here, right? Recognizing these stages of passivity, it's not about judging, it's about empowering.
Yes, it's about giving yourself permission to say, okay, this is where I'm at right now, and then figuring out, okay, what's the next step?
Exactly. And that's what this whole Hilf zur Selbsthilfe idea is all about. It's not just a nice slogan. It's about recognizing that you have the power to shape your own journey, even within a system that can feel, at times, incredibly overwhelming.
Absolutely. And finding the right guide, someone who understands not just the law, but the human experience of navigating it.
Yes. Someone who can ask those tough questions.
Yeah.
Challenge those assumptions and ultimately empower individuals to find their own way. That's what makes all the difference.
Well said. So for anyone listening out there feeling, you know, maybe a little lost in this world of German social law, remember, it's not about accepting defeat. It's about finding that path, taking those small steps.
One step at a time.
Exactly. And remember, you don't have to do it alone. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into, well, I think it's safe to say, a pretty complex topic. Until next time, keep those brains engaged, keep asking questions, and most importantly, don't be afraid to seek out the support you need to navigate whatever life throws your way.